Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. I ask, Lord, that you would anoint my lips to speak this message you laid on my heart, Lord, that for this church body, that we would have ears to hear and our hearts to receive your word, that it would be on fruitful soil, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, amen. Amen. Psalm 33, verse 20 through 22 says, our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us just as we hope in you. The title of this is, Waiting is Hard. As we just sang that song, that chorus, and as we read that passage, there's also in Psalm 27, wait is constantly a theme throughout Scripture, but Psalm 27, verse 14 says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Waiting is hard, isn't it? Especially when we live in strange times, and I think we are observing strange times. I don't think it's just me. It appears that the world feels like it's a powder keg ready to explode. Yet the media in the U.S. does not actually report on this stuff. So the public as a whole is kind of numb to what's going on outside of the realm of the United States. And sometimes you have to go to outside sources to read that or to catch up with what's going on. And that leaves many people here blinded. And I feel like, as a whole, the world population is kind of being beaten into submission to, and the nations to accept kind of total government control over their lives because they seem to know what's better. And if it's not that, the nations are raging with just great divide. And you will see that occur more in this country over the next 16 months as we head into another election cycle. It will intensify. But I believe that there's more at work here than really what the eye shows. Because Ephesians 6 says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So therefore, what are we supposed to do? Take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. And those wicked powers and principalities are certainly at work in this world. And as that world grows more dark, the wicked one will continually look to push and conform the world to its final agenda and its final solution. Over the last few years, we've seen the world kind of lockstep move in lockdowns. That has devastated small businesses. Even some of the big retail chains that we once saw or knew of, they're gone. Do you understand that? We've seen people leave the church in droves, and we've certainly seen the prices of everything go through the roof, have we not? Yeah. Yeah. I'm pretty sure nobody here in this room, and probably those listening online, even envisioned a scenario where over the last years where we saw basically lawlessness promoted in the cities and just describing it under a different name. I heard the mayor recently talking about, like, as the teenagers, like, rioted in the streets. He just said, well, it's just a gathering. Like, wait a second. What are we talking about here? That causes concern for the law-abiding citizen. But we know lawlessness would increase, and just as it was in the days of Noah and Lot, so it is today. It's a time where evil is called good and good is evil. And that's the world we live in, a world that is becoming utterly lawless, and living in a day of great deception. I think of the promotion of gender confusion, and I think about the taking of life and an abortion that people think is just because a baby has not come out of the womb, it's not a human. That mystery of lawlessness was already at work back in Paul's day when he wrote, just wait until the restrainer is taken out of this world. When Paul wrote to Romans and Thessalonians, the age of grace, that church age had just really begun. And it was under Roman rule and great pressure. And we see that church age, we're getting to the very narrow end of that. And that time of grace is quickly coming to an end. You know in scripture, you've heard enough in this from this pulpit here that it will end with a global government as described by Daniel, the one that is mixed with iron and clay. And that old flow of daily living, you know, that old flow, it's been torn apart. You still get glimpses of it here and there. I mean, I just had a wonderful trip. I had a wonderful vacation. So it's not all doom and gloom here, folks. But with each day, as we progress, each layer kind of gets peeled back a little bit more and a little bit more. It gets, when I say peeled back, I mean peeled away. And the world's marching towards a beast system. It's conditioning the world to accept and conform to a new order. And that push to conform, for those who don't bow to it, it's going to get tougher. But be of good cheer, right? Jesus has overcome the world. Step by step, guess what? We're getting closer to the Lord himself setting up his eternal kingdom. I was reading an article this past week, and it was written by Damon Duck about why. And I'll just share some of it with you, because these are some of the... Jesus is coming back, ready or not. And the number of people that think we are getting close is rapidly growing. Here are some recent current events that seem to indicate that we are getting close. He said, one, concerning the war between Israel and Hezbollah in Lebanon on August 1st, 2023, Israel Prime Minister Netanyahu met with the Israeli military and security officials to discuss Hezbollah's actions on Israel's northern border with Lebanon. They concluded that the threat of war is the greatest it has been in the last 17 years, since 2006. You know, southern Lebanon is actually part of the land that God said Israel will get at the end of the age. So put another way, Hezbollah is occupying part of the promised land, and it will lose it if it starts a third war with Israel. Israel notified the U.S. Security Council, and it seems like they've done nothing to kind of calm it down. It's just getting more intense over there. I think even Amir Sefardi wrote about that recently. Hezbollah is actually controlled by Iran. It's a proxy for them. And so we know how Iran feels. Two, concerning the global famine, he said on August 2nd, 2023, Ukraine's President Zelensky accused Russia of trying to create a global catastrophe by disrupting the global food supply and collapsing global food markets. That's because the global, you know, there was a wheat deal or a grain deal, and that was not extended by Russia to allow the grain to leave. And you've heard before about how Ukraine was a breadbasket for wheat. Number three, concerning the economic collapse, on August 4th, 2023, Michael Hartnett, a strategist at the Bank of America, predicted that America's national debt will rise by $5.2 billion a day, every day for the next 10 years. On August 7th, 2023, Moody's cut the ratings of 10 small to mid-sized banks in the U.S. and may have to soon downgrade some of its largest banks, you know, the ones that are too big to fail. Credit card debt has reached $1.03 trillion. Do you realize that in August of 2019, total household debt equated to $17 trillion for the quarter, and it has gone up. So actually, credit card debt as a whole, got my graph here, let me get it. In 2021, the household debt at the end of 2021 was under $800 billion as far as credit card debt. It is now $1.03 trillion. And that is because the cost of things going up. Mm-hmm. People are needing credit cards to live. That's a sign. Yeah. That is a sign, folks. Mm-hmm. In addition, at the end of this month, on August 22nd, we know the BRICS nations wants to unroll a gold-backed currency. And it's also planned to use, you know, really 60% these nations, Saudi Arabia, Brazil, Russia, Iran, they are heavy oil producers, and so over 60% of the oil that is traded in the world will be used, they want to use under the BRICS currency. We'll see how that plays out. I'm not saying that's going to be the new reserve currency, but I do think that there's more pressure there, which puts more pressure on the American household. There's also, number four was a a normalization agreement. The Wall Street Journal just reported on this, that the U.S. is working hand-in-hand with Saudi Arabia and Israel for a normalization agreement, kind of tying it into the Abraham Accords. And that is prophetic in itself, too, that Saudi Arabia is one of the Gulf nations. Everyone knows Ezekiel 38 that says, why have you come here to plunder Israel for its booty, for its treasure? And number five, just to sum it up, concerning the ashes of a red heifer in a rebuilt temple, on August 8, 2023, it was reported that the Jews are only months away from having a red heifer that is old enough to sacrifice. It has also been reported that the Israeli government has discreetly shifted some funds to prepare for purification services, maybe even the construction of a third temple. There are a total of five red heifers, I believe. One was already moved. I think two others were moved to Shiloh. And I thought this was really a paramount quote from the CEO of Ancient Shiloh, where this red heifer was just delivered. It says, "We are yearning for the temple, and suddenly there is a red heifer here, and we understand what that means. Something is about to happen." Interesting, huh? Yeah. Interesting. So as Jan Markell says, hey, the world is not falling apart, it's falling into place. And so what we see before our eyes, and you need to hear this for yourself, to apply it as a whole and also on an individual with whatever you got going on in your life, your current circumstances, they're not setbacks. They're divine setups, folks. It's a different perspective to look at things, right?
Yeah.
Divine setups. So we need to trust in the Lord with all our heart, lean not on our own understanding, acknowledge Him in all our ways, and He will what? Direct our path. So when the baby process starts, right, the birthing process, it doesn't get reversed. It doesn't stop, right? It gets going. It intensifies. That baby, it goes in the womb. It gets more uncomfortable. We were sitting at lunch one day, and we saw one lady walk by, and she was about to pop. She looked very uncomfortable in like the 110 heat index. But the reality is, when that baby starts to come, he's coming. He or she's coming, okay? And that's the world we live in today. The birth pains are going to increase, and guess what? That means the Lord's coming. That means the kingdom's coming. Those contractions intensify, and then the baby comes. But there's a hardness of hearts that is being developed out there for those who just they're tied too close to this earth, and they reject the free gift of salvation, in which God's going to pour out His wrath upon an unrepentant earth. But before that happens, the things are going to get a little more intense, folks. And my job is to warn you of that. I think we are moving past that point of no return. And I think if you understand how things are accelerating and how they're converging and the logistics part of things, we see how things understand. And it says Daniel 12 that the wise will understand. But I know many of you are ready for a change. Yeah? Whether it's you want out of this earth or just a change in your circumstances, many are wondering, how much longer, Lord? How much longer do I have to endure? How much longer do I have to keep on going? Maybe some of you are feeling like that today. And you say, how much longer? And then the Lord says, soon, right? Soon, soon, soon. Or in another word, wait. Wait. Because waiting on the Lord can be one of the hardest things to do if you don't have the right mindset. You know, you want to take action, and it's a command to wait upon the Lord. I just read that Psalm 33, our soul waits for the Lord, right? Psalm 27, wait on the Lord. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And you can't do that on your own power or your own might. Not going to happen. But that word wait in the Hebrew is called kava, which involves looking, it's watching eagerly, It's to lie in wait, and here, listen to this, it's to collect and bind together. And I like that thought, that perhaps in the waiting, that relationship with the Lord is getting binded together. It's getting deeper. Yeah. It's getting deeper, right? Yeah. That waiting process, you know, you're growing in relationship until it's ultimately fulfilled when he calls you home and you're face to face with him. But that binding together, you know, it's like when you spend time with your spouse, when you spend more time together, you grow closer. You grow closer. So with that being said, you got to trust that he's got a plan. He's sovereign God, right? Sovereign God, no setbacks, it's divine setups. And to get good at waiting, you have to acknowledge that God is sovereign and that nothing that we're presently experiencing is outside of his eternal decree, his direct oversight. Even with free will in your choices, all things work together for good. Isaiah 45 said in verses 5 through 9 says, I am the Lord and there's no other. There is no God besides me. That settles it, doesn't it? Right? I will gird you though you may have not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun to its setting that there is none besides me. I am the Lord and there is no other. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create calamity. I, the Lord, do all these things. Rain down, you heavens from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, let them bring forth salvation. Let the righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. Woe to him who strives with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him who forms it, what are you making? Or shall he is the Lord God, folks. Didn't you sing that today? He is Lord over all the earth, right? Colossians 1, 16 through 17, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him things all things consist. Yes, even your current state of affairs is of the Lord. He has allowed it to bring about his purpose, to bring about his will. And what God has decreed, and guess what? It does not reverse. When his word goes forth out, it cannot return void. It accomplishes its purpose. As much as you may want to fix your current problems, you have to wait upon the Lord and acknowledge his sovereign purpose in it. What is he trying to do through you and in you? Because his ways are not our ways. He works things all together for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And in the midst of the storm surrounding us, there's this relationship that deepens when you're trusting in the Lord, that binding again. And God knows the perfect time when he's going to send his son to collect his bride. And human fixes are not permanent. God is going to make things all right. He will make it better than you can ever fathom. And during those times of waiting, you have to, as that pressure increases, let your faith expand. And it will. As you seek the Lord in his strength. Not your strength, his strength. So Isaiah 55, 6 says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. 1 Chronicles 16, 18, oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among people. Sing psalms to him. That's what we just did. We sang songs to him. Talk of all his wondrous works. All of his wondrous works. When you talk about those things, you're building up your faith of what he's done in the past. Not only just for you, for others. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. Your feeling of helplessness becomes obvious during times when you're feeling pressure. And you can feel like there's no hope and you have no strength. It's like you're like, you got the kryptonite on you, right? But you have an outlet. You can turn your focus on the Lord. You can give him your circumstances and trust in him and acknowledge him, right? And then there's a renewing that happens. Those who wait upon the Lord, right? Come on. Right? They will. They will. They shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. It's in Christ alone that you can find strength to work through life's problems, where you can soar above the storm and the gale winds. Ephesians 6:10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might." In the power of his might. There's strength in the Lord, that right hand of favor. The Psalms included, there's multiple passages about waiting and finding strength in God. Here's an extra one, Psalm 31:24. "Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who wait for the Lord." Everyone here is waiting for the Lord.
Yes,
even when loved ones and their love wax cold against you, when your employer wants to beat you down, when violence breaks out, when war breaks out, even if the economy collapses, and even when grocery stores run out of essentials, when the hospitals run out of beds or supply or man-made shortages, and the world gets darker and sin is abounding, guess what? You can rest securely in the strength of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is our most essential need. He is your source. You understand?
Yes.
So you seek him for spiritual strength because you are in a spiritual war.
Yes.
It's a war. You need to depend on him because as mostly guys, but we'll just say everybody, because maybe it's not, but most of us want to be in control. We got control issues.
No, that's the devil
talking. We have control issues. It's a pride thing. We want the freedom and independence, whatever we want to do, when, where, and how we want to do it, right? That's our flesh rising up inside us. But the reality is, you're dependent upon God for your very next breath.
That's right.
It's a gift from God. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. That's what Job said. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, "You are not your own. You were bought with a price." So you have a God who knows your very need. And if you're seeking him and his kingdom first and his righteousness, he has a certain way of doing things. He will provide. Isn't that nice to know that you can trust in a God who's present for provision?
Yes. Yes.
He makes a way. You wanted to be in church on Sundays, he made a way.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Acknowledge that.
Yeah.
Spirit of Thanksgiving.
Thank you, Lord.
Isaiah 12, verse 2 says, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For Yah, the Lord, is my strength and song. He has also become my salvation." Oh, it's because of what he's done, you've had access to all of his promises. He's the one that has established us in Christ. He has anointed us and he has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. I like that. I like to have a guarantee. I work better. I operate better knowing that I have a guarantee. Like when you have the warranty on your car before it runs out, right? You feel pretty good about it. And I have to constantly remind myself about those things, to not fear, to not worry, and to not doubt. Because fear paralyzes people. And I've been paralyzed at points. And it can rob you of our focus. It takes our eyes off Christ. It gets really our consumption on the situation at hand, right? God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. That's self-control. It doesn't mean like you want to be stupid and careless with our decisions. You know, we should be wise, and we need to plan things. We do plan things out. Joseph did that with 7 years of bounty to 7 years of famine that was coming, right? He saw what was happening, and he acted with wisdom. It's just a side note. I just think about Joseph and all that he went through. He He had a lot of waiting to do, didn't he? He waited in a pit for a while. He served at Potter's house, and then all of a sudden he gets turned against him. He gets thrown into jail. He interprets a dream, and then is it the baker who gets out? I don't remember which one. Doesn't remember him. And then the other one finally says, "Hey, I know somebody who can interpret that dream for you." But there was a lot of waiting in there.
Yeah.
And a lot of probably at points doubting, like, what is going on? Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
The enemy loves to sow doubt.
Yes,
he does. It tries to creep in and take root inside us. Form of that stronghold, that fortress in our mind. Mm-hmm. And when you feel that creepy thought, you know, that the creepiness of the doubt that's kind of like settling in. You need to take that thought captive and subject to the obedience of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You need to speak against it.
Yes. Amen.
Because for what's coming on the earth, it says men's hearts are going to fail them for what's coming. And the worst you have is your life is forfeited here on earth, but you actually gain so much more. You're in the presence of the Lord, right? So Psalm 46, you know that one. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear through the earth, though the earth gives way. Though the earth gives way, though the mountains are moved in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and form, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. He's our refuge and strength. So you take those thoughts captive, right, by replacing your thoughts with God's thoughts. It's renewing our mind. That's Romans 12, right? And guess what? That's a reasonable sacrifice. That's what Scripture says. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is a reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Renewing your mind. Reading the Scripture, guess what? That allows you to combat the wiles of the enemy. Right? The only offensive weapon is what? The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Psalm 25, verse 4 through 5 says, "Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long." As we wait upon the Lord, as we read His Word, guess what? You commune with Him. It's His Word speaking to you. Just like when you're praying, there's a form that you're reading His words and it's speaking to your inner man. Maybe you're not retaining it here, but there's something happening on the inside, folks. You know, there's times when you kind of open your Bible and you're reading, and you're like, what did I just read? Your inner man was still being fed. But reading His Word teaches us obedience, and it keeps us steadfast. I think Katie talked about obedience last week, right? Mm-hmm. Obey, obey.
Okay.
Yes. And obedience allows us to stay steadfast so we don't drift. Drifting is no good. We don't drift. We stay tethered to the anchor, right?
Yes, amen.
And we seek Him in prayer. Praying without ceasing, right? Romans 12:12 says, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation. Do you know all that Job went through was about 6 months? That was a lot, but it was only for 6 months. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Jesus Himself gave us an example of that, didn't He? He would constantly, when He would pull away, He would be going and praying to the Father. Isn't that interesting? He's our example. With whatever you're going through, right? Don't be anxious about nothing. But everything, prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, right?
Yeah.
Let your requests be made known, O God, and then peace comes from that. That passes all understanding. It's in all things, big and small. It's in all things with your family. When there's pressure there, with your business, your air conditioner, I remind myself that I serve the God of possible. We prayed that, didn't we?
Yes.
We serve the God of possible. Just think of the word impossible, right? Okay? And then what I do is I say, I am possible. I am possible, right? Anything is possible through the great I am, is it not?
Yes.
So it's not impossible, it is possible with the I am,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
When things crumble around us, when people are losing their minds over fear of what's taking place, and when the lies start creeping in the enemy, you take it to the Lord, you petition him, you make it known, you pray for deliverance for your friends, for your family, for those who don't know Jesus, because the day of the Lord is going to come. It's going to come, and it's going to come like a thief to those who aren't prepared for it. Peter talks about that with the world kind of passing away, but in 2 Peter, and actually verse 18, it says, but you grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Paul talked about knowing him and the fellowship of his suffering. So it allows you to redeem your time that you've been given here. Every day you have is another day to serve the Lord. You're going to have setbacks. You're going to have bad days. I get it. I have those too. Right? But that occupying is very real. Occupying and redeeming the time. When the Lord gave that parable to Meanness, he said, hey, I'm going to go away. And you occupy. You do business till I come. And then the kingdom comes. And he said, what have you done with that? What have you done with that time while you're waiting on the Lord? What have you done? Right? We talked about reading the Word of God, replacing your thoughts, right? We talked about prayer, right? Because the prayers of the righteous availeth much. The fervent prayers of the righteous availeth much. We've seen the Lord move in this church, this little church, because of the amount of prayer that happens. You're part of the resistance.
Amen.
You are part of the resistance. And when you resist the devil, he flees from you. That's what James says, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're part of the resistance to push back, help push back the darkness that creeps in. You're an ambassador of Christ representing your heavenly home. Right?
Yes.
Let our light shine, looking forward the bridegroom. Right? Looking, longing, and waiting for the blessed hope, right? There's a lot of groaning going on in our creation right now. I know people want to brand it as climate change, but I personally believe God's judgment. We're seeing God's judgment play out.
Yeah.
And all creation groans under the agony of the curse. For those of us who have been born again, we've been transformed, metamorphosis, into a new creation.
Yes.
And you've experienced spiritual redemption. And you're longing for the redemption of your body.
Yes.
I was reminded of that just walking on the beach,
yes.
Like walking on even my back. Would get so tight at the end of the walk, and I could barely bend down to pick up my sandals at times. And I'm young. But I'm looking forward to, not feeling those type of pains. Titus 2:11 through 13 says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So you're eagerly awaiting him. There's a place being prepared for us, a bridal chamber. That's what Jesus said. Hey, I'm going to prepare a place for you. You need to wait until the Lord comes and takes us together to be with him. What a day it's going to be. And I'll close with this. Psalm 37:34 says, wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see it. I have seen the wicked in great power. Yeah. And spreading himself like a native green tree. Yet he passed away, and behold, he was no more. Indeed, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the blameless man, and observe the upright. observe the upright, for the future of that man is peace. But the transgressor shall be destroyed together, the future of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in Him. They trust in Him. So while you wait and look for our Lord, let that relationship bind together. Let it get a little tighter. Amen? Amen. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. And thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for a wonderful time of worship and praise. And thank you, Lord, that we have that promise of that word that you said, wait. That we can bind our relationship tighter with you, Lord, while we're waiting for you. And knowing that you're doing a work inside us and through us. Give us opportunities this week, Lord, to share you. Whether it's at work or with family. Even at a grocery store, Lord. That our hearts would be steady and stayed upon you. That we choose joy to walk in the Spirit, Lord. That others would come to know you personally. In Jesus' name we pray. The church said, Amen.
You're dismissed.